Michael, you wear many hats. Architect, teacher, painter, photographer, doodler. You've got ties with KIA. You've got ties with the Kalamazoo Book Arts. You're all over the place, and that's a wonderful thing. You're a big part of this community. I'm not going to ask you to choose a child on which one's your favorite, but shall we start with architect?
Sure. That's how I moved to Kalamazoo. That's how I wound up starting to make a living here.
Where'd you move from?
Well, actually, I was going to school in Ann Arbor, and so I moved to Schoolcraft and got a job washing dishes, and then was lucky enough to find a job with an architect.
That's a jump.
Yeah. Yeah, straight from the dishwasher to the drawing board.
Nice.
Yeah, it was lucky.
Yeah, and at this point, I understand you're in your own business, hand-done art?
Yes, or M-done design, either
or,
one.
Wait, you have hand-done art and you also have Michael-done design.
Right. Yep, the architecture part's mostly M-done design.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of all of your hats.
It makes it more interesting.
Yeah.
Every day is different.
Is there a tangent, a connection between all your art forms? Do they inform each other in any way?
I actually do the opposite. Architecture is very controlled. I'm usually trying to make somebody else happy. I'm designing for someone to try to solve, you know, their needs. And art is, you know, mine. I just allow it to happen. I'm not trying to satisfy anybody other than sort of this internal person that drives me to draw.
When you say that, I especially think of your doodles. You take part in, what is that, the Kalamazoo Doodle?
Oh, it's Kalamadoodle.
Kalamadoodle,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic event.
So what do you do there?
I just draw. A gentleman's name is Mike Clock that organized it and started the whole process. And he's arranged it every month at a local microbrewery. And he supplies the brown wrapping paper, the color pencils, the crayons, and rolls them out on the table. And everybody just goes in and has fun drawing from ages, I've seen 4-year-olds in there up to me. So I'm pretty much the oldest one there. So
I love that it's wrapping paper.
Yeah, get to be the grandfather of the doodle. So
a big kid.
Yeah, it's a great deal of fun. You just sort of play.
And what happens to those doodles?
Actually, Mike stores those in his studio. And then every year about October or November, he brings them out and people can cut off a doodle and take it. So you can keep your own or he'll, you know, just give them away at one of the events, which is keep your eyes open for it because it's a great way to pick up, you know, fun art.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because you have a price tag on your paintings, but you don't then on your doodles.
No, no, I just do that for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just totally enjoyable.
So now let's segue over to the paintings. Tell me about your work and where can people find it and what inspires you?
Actually, where they can find it, I'll start there. I don't really have a gallery in town at the moment. Kalamazoo needs a good commercial gallery, so I'll put in a plug for anybody that's thinking about doing that. The hard part is Kalamazoo needs to support a commercial gallery more. So it's always one of those, you know, tough things. I've thought about doing one myself, but it's a lot of work and it's a lot of effort and it's hard for people to pull it off. So at the moment, I show wherever one of the Kalamazoo Arts Council's venues opens up. Or, you know, my friend Linda Zuska has a place called Ninth Wave, which is a great little gallery. And so I get to show there with a group of people frequently. And so it just depends. A lot of times it's just the Arts Council's, you know, exhibition spaces. And usually what I do is I do a series. So I usually do 10 to 15 paintings at one time. And then that's the show. So, and I've done 3 or 4 of those at the Arts Council's offices, and I usually make a proposal to them, and then they take it and let me have the really great exhibition space there.
What's your source of inspiration?
Everything around me. It's just sort of, you know, I just keep my eyes open and just things, you know, come to it. It's usually about relationships. So if I do boats, it'll be boats in like how they relate, how close they are, whether they're talking to each other or whether they're ignoring each other. The same thing with my chair series. The chairs are stand-ins for people, and you can tell, you know, how the relationships work by the positioning of the chairs. So usually they're metaphors. They're more about something other than just the obvious, but I'm also interested in the color and the textures and the relationships. So,
and your usual medium?
Everything. I like to paint with, start with acrylic and then paint with oil on top of it. And then I scratch through the oil and expose the acrylic underneath it. So, and then I draw with pencil on top, or I, you know, do more painting and more textural, you know, belt sanders or scrapers or different things that way. So I do a lot of drawing with razor blades.
Wow. Belt sanders.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great because you can get, you know, hundreds of thousands of lines in a short period of time.
Fascinating. I've seen lots of your work, but I'm going to have to take a second look and look for the technique at what I'm looking at.
Yeah, it's something I developed when I was in grad school at Western. And it just, you know, it turned into a way to apply a line without using a pencil or a brush.
And how did you get interested in art? Were you raised in an artistic family?
No, actually, it was, strangely enough, we never thought of ourselves as artistic. My mother liked to do the standard craft type of work, like knitting or rug weaving or different things that way. But, you know, the artwork on the walls was usually something she'd find at a, you know, junk shop or a curio shop, you know, or the starving artist paint sale. So we didn't have much art on the walls. But my sister turned into a writer. My brother is a creative chef, and I get to do these other things. So it's just,
you know, all art forms.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
All from a
small town. It's creativity. Mom somehow helped you develop your imagination, I think.
And my dad used to, he had a job that was, how do I describe it? A complaint department for a factory. And so when customers weren't happy, they'd send him to him, and he'd have to address the issues. And it shortened his life significantly.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's about the most miserable job I could think of.
it was pretty terrible. But he would actually have 3x5 note cards and doodle, you know, faces on them.
Ah.
And I think some of the influence I have on my doodling is from my father and, you know, his drawing, because he'd bring home the cards and show me what he drew. And they were all just characters from his imagination. So it was,
do you still have any of them?
I have a few. Yeah. It's just one of those things you wonder how, you know, these small things influence you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in my sketchbook, there are mostly doodles of faces.
There you go.
Yeah. So it all connects.
What a neat connection. So the next book is going to be the card and how it inspired you.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Thanks. There you go.
That's what he needs, another book
to
do. Marcia's encouraging me to do another book now on my photographs. So it's just, it's awfully hard to find time to organize all this.
Marcia, we've had her on this show before. Marcia Meyer is a librarian who pretends to be retired, but not really.
Not really. No.
So does she inspire you a lot?
A lot. Marcia has a generous spirit, so she always opens me up. So sometimes with all the work and everything, I close down a bit and I'm not as, you know, sort of open to things as I need to be. Art's about being open.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Marcia inspires me and she's my muse and gets me out to look at things. And, you know, we travel well together and we enjoy the same things. So we just sort of look at things differently. So we inspire each other that way.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That's the way it should be. You mentioned travel. Do you bring home a lot of influences from travel?
Oh, yeah. It's just one thing I like to do more than she does is I love to travel. And so I've developed, you know, some new techniques from Paris And when I was going to just starting grad school, we went to Paris, and I came back, and my artwork changed 100%. It was just absolutely night and day difference.
Wow.
Not from anything I saw there. It's just from everything I saw there. So travel, you know, I believe strongly that the more people can get out, you know, and see other places, the more broader they become and the more interesting they become. But, you know, also the more open they are to other ideas and other, you know, people and other thoughts. So
yeah, just different ways of seeing the world. I've always thought that travel is something that helps you see home.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think you appreciate what's around you that much more.
Yeah.
So just like, you know, after going to Europe, I developed this idea of just looking at everything from a close-up viewpoint. It's just to see things better and see things more clearly. So I study flowers and bugs and nature, you know, from an inch away. And it's you know, it totally has changed my perception about everything around me.
You just did a wonderful segue to your photography, and another art form of yours that I'm a big fan of, because I get to follow you on Facebook, and you have this wonderful habit of posting at least a photo per day, and then everybody kind of just swarms all over it. And they tend to be very, like you said, very much close-ups that you see something quote-unquote ordinary in an entirely new way.
Mm-hmm. It changes the colors, the textures, but it really, I've noticed things about nature I had no idea existed, like the way a fiddle fern opens up or the way flower changes over its life cycle and how sunflowers go from just a ball into opening up into petals and then going from there into drying out. And then the birds come in and start picking at it and there's less seeds and you get to see the transitions more.
Yeah. I enjoy photography, too, and you're right. When you put that camera to your eye, I've challenged myself sometimes, go into the same place I've been 1,000 times, and I'm thinking, today nothing looks very special. But if you push yourself, you're going to find it.
Yeah, if you're open, I think, is the secret for me, is just sort of like, usually I'm not even looking at this point. It usually presents itself to me, and I can see something from across the yard that I want to walk up to and look at. But, you know, it's just sort of like there is either a light shining on it at that instant or something's going on. And I walk over and I, you know, have a chance to study it, you know, up close. And then as you turn the camera, just even a small eighth of an inch, the picture changes and you change the composition and you look at the light changes. Everything changes.
But light.
Your
light.
Photographs are very much the same way. So it's just like, I love looking at your
Thank
photos.
Thank you. This isn't about me, Doc.
Oh, I know. Just mutual admiration.
But thank you. Light is the thing.
I mean, if you go out on a cloudy day, sometimes you get lucky and the soft light, you know, changes how the shape appears or it changes, you know, how the colors work. But the light, if you get a good strong light, then it's just, are you going to put it on the face or shoot it from behind? And, you know, how you take advantage of the light is what makes a photograph so interesting.
My least favorite time for photography is middle of the day, the brightest part of the day. I love morning light. I love evening light, that golden hour, which really is only a few minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not long.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing you notice about nature is if you see a photograph, you better have your camera with you because it's not going to be there in a few minutes.
Yeah, entirely different.
You have to be prepared.
Yeah. So you said you're not represented in any one gallery and you're going to open the next one.
Don't tell Marsha.
But you've also got some books out there.
I have some books, actually.
Or is this just a book I've seen on your kitchen counter?
I have one book that I've done of my photography.
Oh, and we all have to fight over that?
Yes. At this point, I haven't printed enough of them, so I have to do some more work. And the intention
Marsha's right.
Yep, Marsha's very correct. And we have an idea of working with poets and combining the poetry with my photographs And so we've got several ideas cooking. It's just a matter of, one, we need to get some money for backing, and two, we have to organize the poets. And fortunately, Kalamazoo has a wealth of poetry, of very good poets.
Yeah.
And so we did a show with them, what was it, a year and a half ago at the Kalamazoo Book Arts Center, and it turned out to be an excellent show with the combination of poetry and drawing.
Yeah.
And it was, I'd like to do the same thing in a book form. So that's one of the next steps.
So then there's passing on your love of the arts to someone else. You also teach.
I try to teach in small ways. At this point, you have to make a choice on how you're going to spend your time. And the last class I taught was at Kalamazoo Valley about a year ago. And it just, I was stretching myself too thin. So now what I try to do is I just talk with students, or I talk with the Book Arts Center. So I'm getting my teaching informally, where I'm just trying to help people out indirectly, or just, you know, with encouragement. And yeah, I love to teach. It's just a matter of there's not, you know, an abundance of full-time teaching jobs in art in this area. And so I decided to focus more on my own work and architecture, because my clients aren't, you know, they need their drawings now, and so patience.
Need to eat and keep a roof over your head.
Fortunately, I like doing all that, so it's just I have to prioritize.
But you've taught at Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. Were you president of Kalamazoo Book Arts at one point?
Yes, for about 5 years.
Yeah.
So we had a group of founding members. There were about probably eight of us that started it, and Jeff Absher became our director. And Paul
Robert. So you were one of the founders?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, because we all were, you know, frankly, we had Paul Robert that was a paper maker, and Jeff is a printer, and I'm a printer. Jeff's more of a letterpress printer, and I do etchings and woodcuts and things that way, and other printing. And so that, and the combination of a number of other artists in Kalamazoo, set it up. You know, sitting around the garden talking about it, and then we organized it and actually made it work. So
yeah,
and it's
been around for quite some time
spot.
Now.
Yeah, they're having their anniversary. I think is it 10th anniversary this year. So hard to believe, but it turned out to be an exciting spot, not only for books, but writing and making paper and everything there is that goes into a book.
Yeah.
They teach.
What are you working on now?
At this point, the most exciting part for me is I'm doing what I call accidental marks. And I do those every day constantly. It's sort of like a doodle, only it's more, how should I say, more defined, more expressive, more, I think, psychological than my doodles are for fun. This is more for sort of release. Sort of not escape, but more of an idea of letting myself, sort of explore different ideas or world events or things that way. Mm-hmm. So I post one of those on Facebook. I have a page called Accidental Marks, and I put a drawing on every week. And the interesting thing that's happened is that 70% or more of the followers that I have on that site are from Spain. And about 20% are from France.
Oh, interesting.
And the balance are from England and the United States.
So, you've got an international following.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been, and it's nice to get their comments, even though it's in Spanish and I have to work on my translations. it's been very rewarding to hear what people in other countries, think about my work. And they're very encouraging. And sometimes, they have critical comments, which are always appreciated. It's just been something that's opened up my drawings to another, sphere. And it's been extremely rewarding.
So there is some value to Facebook.
There can be. It just depends on how you use it.
Yeah.
If it's you treat it as an opportunity, and I love to be able to share. So for me, it gives me a chance to put out what I've normally keep in my sketchbooks And, you know, for years I did sketchbooks and I never showed them to anybody. So now it's reached a point where I'm opening the door to just about everybody. And it's kind of a nerve-wracking feeling in some ways. In other ways, it's just, you know, it's exciting to think that I'm reaching people that I may never meet. I'd kind of like to get a gallery in Spain.
There you go.
Given how, you know, the response has been, it seems, you know, the Spanish art has always been darker. It's like, you know, El Greco and Goya and people like that. So I think there's something about my art that, you know, sort of crosses over to that culture easier.
Yeah. So when you do these accidental marks, mm-hmm. is it a process that it really is accidental, that something surfaces out of these lines?
Yes, definitely. I just part of what I do in everything, my architecture or my, you know, photography, is it's all about problem solving. So, you know, when I put a scribble, what I'm then doing is stepping back and looking at it and trying to solve how this piece connects to that piece, and different things appear. So it's just kind of a magical process. So it just, and I start off actually drawing with my eyes closed.
Really?
Yeah. So it just, you know, I don't start anywhere in particular. I just, you know, sort of know the paper is here and just start putting a mark down.
Wow.
And from that mark, then other things appear. And then toward the end, I start tightening it down, or I darken in some areas to get richer values.
So a little more intention towards the finish.
Yeah, okay. The finish. But the beginning's all just completely spontaneous.
Is there a series, an exhibit down the road that you would like to make out of this, or it's just going to be on this website or Facebook?
We're contemplating doing mine and then seeing if I can get another two or three artists to do a joint show, or, you know, even a possible collaboration show.
Okay.
So then mix in the poetry with that. I like the, you know, collaboration between word and image, especially if you're not having either party illustrate it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where they're still being true to what work they're doing and they can bring it out, and then the two sort of, you know, work off from each other that way.
If you ever pull a show like that together, come back.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, thank you so much, Michael. You've been fascinating to talk to.
Oh, my pleasure.
Keep drawing, photographing, teaching, painting, and designing.
Thank you. I will. Keep trying.